21 in your Bibles, let's go ahead and stand to our feet. We'll read the text, John chapter 21. We'll wrap up the book of John today, Lord willing. And I'm not sure where we'll go to next week, but I'll let you know. We'll start a new book next Sunday. John chapter 21, verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship. Immediately in that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now you'll notice here in verses 1 through 3, Jesus Christ shows up again the third time to his disciples, and he's at the Sea of Tiberias, and you see the situation. A whole bunch of the disciples are there hanging out together, right? And you see Peter, he's the one, he looks at the rest of the guys and he says, I go fishing. Don't forget, that's what Peter was doing when Jesus Christ showed up and said, walk away from everything and follow me. Remember? So obviously, from looking at this thing, you can see that the disciples are discouraged. The disciples are frustrated. The disciples are kind of like not sure what's next and not sure how to move forward or where to go from here. It's a funny thing that they're that upset. This is the third time the Lord showed himself to the disciples, right? So should they not be kind of pumped up right now? Should they not be sort of encouraged right now? I mean, Jesus Christ miraculously steps onto the scene. He died. They saw him die. He was buried. He rose again. And he proved that he had rose again, miraculously showing up, walking through walls. Hey, Thomas, put your fingers in the nail prints. Put your hands in the side. Don't be faithless, but believing. He has proved himself to his disciples and showed up already twice to his disciples. They ought to be pretty fired up by now. They ought to be pretty encouraged by now. I mean, hey, look, 2020 is over and the Lord got us through it. It's time to be all happy in Jesus, right? But in all reality, that's not how your human nature works. And you're no better or no different than the disciples of Jesus Christ were, which encourages me. Because even though the Lord has already proven that He's alive and well, even though He's already showed Himself to His disciples, you find that they're sort of like, they don't really know which direction to go. They don't really know what to do now. They're a little confused. They're a little depressed is the feeling that I get from the setting when I read this. I think they're just discouraged. And you know, Peter, in his nature, it's like, we're going to move forward one way or the other, right? So, hey, look, the Lord's... Something's weird's happening. Jesus died. I don't get the whole thing. The nation's all in turmoil. Jesus let me down. And I think he was still a little bit miffed at Jesus Christ because when he went to defend Jesus Christ stopped him. So then he turns around and he curses, I know not the man. If you think about his cursing in context of what he had just done, in context of the fact that his heart was just obsessed with Jesus Christ, so much so that he at that point in the garden was ready to die for his Savior. And the Lord said, what are you doing? Put up your sword. I imagine he was pretty disappointed. I imagine he was pretty angry. I imagine he felt mistreated by his Savior. I imagine he was frustrated with the fact that I wanted to handle this my way and you won't let me. And he goes to try to cut that boy's ear off, and then Jesus Christ turns around and heals that ear. Lord, he's our enemy. Lord, he's your enemy. Here I am trying to help you and you're stopping me. I think Peter at this point is so frustrated and so depressed and so discouraged and just so out of his mind with all that's going on, he says, I go fishing. Kind of like the way the devil gets you to think sometimes when you're like, well, I might as well just go back to the old life. What's the point in even going to church anymore?
What's the point in even reading my Bible? You know, everywhere you go in life, you hit those quitting points. Marriage, church. Oh, I love my church. Just stay long enough. I love my preacher. Okay, stick around a little while. Get to know me a little better. You ever feel that way? Well, they like me now, but wait till they really know me. Everywhere you go in life, everything you deal with in life, with a little bit of time and reality, comes discouragement and quitting points. But I'll tell you this much, I've been very discouraged in my Christian life. Very. But I don't want to quit. I realize more discouragement is coming, and it feels like as you serve the Lord a little bit longer and try to do a little bit more for Him, when the temptations hit you, when the discouragement comes, it seems like it gets stronger than it was before. I do say this, it comes maybe less often. Some stability does begin to show up, at least in my experience. But boy, when the devil comes at you, he sure seems to know how to come at you. What I want in my life, what I want for Bible Believers Church, what I want for my family, I want to move forward for Jesus Christ. I don't want to back up. I don't want to retreat. I don't want to run. I don't want to go back to my old life. I don't want to quit on Jesus Christ. No matter what, I want to move forward for my Savior. And I see in this passage of Scripture how to move forward for Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, before we go into moving forward, there are stumbling blocks to moving forward. Whenever you start to try to move forward for the Lord, you are going to find there are stumbling blocks in your way. That ought to encourage you that you're on the right path. If this thing wasn't real, if Jesus Christ wasn't real, if your relationship, hear me, if your relationship, if what you were trying to do for the Lord wasn't genuine, why would the devil see fit to put stumbling blocks in your way? Obviously, when you hit those discouraging points, obviously, when you hit those stumbling blocks, obviously, when you mess up, even when it's your fault because you messed up. Do you hear me? Maybe that is a sign that you're doing something right. Maybe that's a sign that you're trying to head the right direction. So the devil gets after your flesh, the devil gets in your way, and he's trying to stumble you up to keep you from moving forward for Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus first showed up to Peter, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men," right? You know how you move forward for Jesus Christ? You follow him. You know what that means? That means one simple step at a time. And that's where most people don't make it. Because we all want the miracles. We all want the walking on water. We all want to see that net so full of fishes we can't get it into shore. But most of us don't want to just take the step today that I'm supposed to take to get where I'm supposed to get in the long run. Isn't it funny how the little things really do matter? Like during the announcements, you know, I don't really matter because I can't really do that much. Isn't it funny how just your name being faithful can make a difference to a bank as to whether or not a loan comes through? Your little bit. Well, but you're one step at a time. Your faithfulness at a time. Your consistency over the long haul. Your regularity to take the step you can take according to what you have now, that makes a big difference in the eyes of Almighty God. It is one step at a time. And so the devil sees those steps in your life. The devil sees the effort you make. And what he's going to try to do is he's going to try to trip you up as you're taking those steps. He's going to try to put stumbling blocks in your way. And I'm telling you, the number one stumbling block Mike Reagan has is Mike Reagan. You think I'm just saying that because it's the right thing to say? You think I'm just saying that because it's, you know, sounds spiritual and sounds good. I'm saying it in reality. If you knew me like I know me, you would realize the number one thing that gets in my way of moving forward for Jesus Christ is me. Peter is his number one enemy when it comes to moving forward for Jesus Christ, because you'll notice in Peter, he has a very strong human spirit. Peter always gets in Peter's way. Peter wanted to handle things in the garden the way Peter thought they should be handled, not the way Jesus Christ wanted to handle them. Did you hear that? The number one stumbling block to you serving the Lord is going to be your own spirit. You're going to want to get things done your way. And the way you work, the way you operate, the way you think is not normally going to be consistent with the way the Holy Spirit of God thinks, the way the Holy Spirit of God operates. It's going to run completely against your grain to walk the way Jesus Christ wants you to walk, even in spiritual things. Did you hear what I said? Even in spiritual things. Well, I'm trying to do this for God. That's your problem. You're trying to do this for God. That's your spirit in the driver's seat. Instead of, Lord, what wouldst thou have me do? Lord, show me the next step. Lord, help me to walk in the footprints of Jesus Christ. Be out in front, Lord. Be my shepherd, Lord. Be my leader, Lord. Take me one day at a time where you want me to go, Lord. The stumbling blocks come when my spirit gets in control of what God would have me to do rather than God's spirit controlling what God would have me to do. And Peter was real bad for it. Peter's the kind of guy that when he says something, other guys go along with him. In verse number 3, he says, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. You know what became their stumbling block? Peter's spirit. Peter said, I'm going fishing. He didn't say, hey, you guys want to go fishing? What do you think? Let's vote on it. You want to go? I kind of feel like going. You want to go? Well, if you're going, I'll go. That wasn't Peter. You know what he said to the guys? I'll go fishing. That means he's getting in the boat. He's going to run the boat, operate the boat. He's going to cast that net by himself. I like this guy. He's the kind of guy you go, yeah, man, I'm going with you. They didn't even think about it. They said, you're going, we're going. And I think Peter was probably the biggest one of the bunch. I'll show you later. And he was definitely the strongest one of the bunch. So he had that presence, you know what I mean? Where when he said, I'm going, other guys were like, we're with you, man, let's go. And his spirit got in the way of Jesus Christ. His spirit continually seemed to get in the way of what the Lord was doing. Go back to Luke chapter number 9, keeping your finger here in John, please. Go to Luke chapter number 9. Let me show you something. Luke chapter number 9 and look at verse 49. Luke 9:49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not with us. Jesus said unto them, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou command that fire come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? And he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went to another village. You know what they're called? They're called the Sons of Thunder by Jesus Christ. Why? Because their spirit was not in tune with God's spirit. He said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. You know what they did? They became a stumbling block to themselves because they saw somebody that didn't go with us. Lord, they're not in our club. Lord, they're not in our clique. Lord, they're not with us. You want us to call down fire from heaven, Lord? The Lord says, you don't know what spirit you're of. You know, sometimes Christians get a little bit off track because they're watching what other Christians do. You see on the news, you know, a fundamental Baptist church got bombed. Uh-oh. It's the LGBT crowd coming after them. Hang on a minute. Just wait. You know the background? Do you know that the guys that are running the church are sons of thunder? They don't know what manner of spirit they're of? Do you know that they make targets and their number one thing out of preaching against homosexuals and saying homosexuals can't get saved? Let me tell you something. I'm going to say this real clear. Homosexuality is a sin before God. Okay? It's called an abomination in the Bible. It's against nature. It's destructive. It's hurtful. The Bible tells you it's not good for you. But you know, they're not my enemies. My Savior died for their sin just like He died for my sin. So it's not my job to get in the pulpit and to begin attacking lost people with the pulpit. You know what lost people need from me? The gospel of Jesus Christ. You know how much the Lord Jesus Christ loved you? You know He died on the cross to take away your sins? Do you know He bore your sin in His body on the tree? You know how many times I've been out public witness and had those guys come after me? They find out I'm a Bible-believing preacher. You know how many times they've come after me? I mean violently come after me. I mean angry. I mean mean. I mean if I'd have handled it wrong, it could have turned into a fist fight. And you know what I refuse to do? I refuse to give them what they're looking for. The guy that controls the distance controls the fight, so I control the conversation. They don't. Well, what about that? Well, what about the fact that the Bible says? Hey, you know what the Bible says? You know what? You don't understand the Bible. You don't understand the Bible. You got the Bible wrong, bud. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says all is sin. Well, I'm a homosexual, so what do you think of that? I think the Bible says all is sin and come short of the glory of God. And I think that if you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and save you, He'll cleanse you of all your sin. I think the real problem is you don't want to admit what sin is or isn't, or that you're a sinner. I think that's the real problem. The real problem is you're not looking for Jesus Christ. That's your problem. I don't care. I'm not going there. Why? I'm not a son of thunder. You don't understand what spirit I'm of. I'll tell you what spirit I'm of. I'm supposed to be of the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what I'm supposed to be doing with lost people is giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, you can't get saved because you're a homosexual. Well, when a preacher preaches that, he doesn't know his Bible and he's not preaching doctrine the right way. So, I mean, who's the bigger sinner here? Misrepresenting the Word of God? Don't you think that's a pretty bad one? Telling them they can't get saved? Don't you think that's a pretty bad one? And when you build your ministry on the Sons of Thunder spirit, when everything your church is about is not standing for something, but it's we're against everybody that doesn't see things our way. We're attacking every other ministry that doesn't line up perfectly with our ministry. We're attacking all the lost world and all the people out there that need Jesus Christ. Hey, they're not going to want to come to you when they need help, when they're looking for help, if all you've ever done is attack them over their sin. Jesus Christ did not attack the woman at the well. He told her the truth and said, "You want help? I'll give you some help." When everybody else wanted to throw stones at her, Jesus Christ cared about her and loved her and helped her. I know that's unpalatable sometimes to you, but that's the truth of the Word of God. And the generation you're living in, they're brainwashing these children before they're even old enough to make their own decisions. They plant stuff in their heads that has to be put in their heads because it's not naturally there. And then they tell them, "Oh, it was natural. You were born that way." You're a liar. You're manipulating children, using child psychology on them, and you're manipulating them. It's wrong. And now give it 20 years. And when some of them are going to be looking for somewhere to go to get some help, you want to be the representative of the Son of Thunder? You don't know what spirit you're of. I don't know. God put me here to reach this generation, to see souls saved and to help them. I'm not going to pull the punch on the preaching. Not going to start saying it's not a sin. It's a sin. It's wicked in the eyes of God. It's an abomination. It's heartbreaking to see what they're brainwashing these little girls to do to their bodies that they can't come back from. So 10, 15, 20 years from now, when they're fully matured, they're not even matured yet, and they're popping pills and stuff that wrecks their body and having surgeries that destroys them for good. At 15, you have no idea how you're going to feel at 30. Heartbreaking. It's just absolutely tragic. But I'm not here to make them all my enemy. I'm here to give them the truth of Jesus Christ. Sons of Thunder didn't know what spirit they were of. Well, they're crucifying the Lord! I know, but that's His plan. Do not I hate them, O Lord, with a perfect hatred. I hate them that hate Thee. Yeah, that's a good psalm. But you know what Jesus Christ is saying in the New Testament? Friend, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? You don't know what spirit you're of. You know what the stumbling block is, I think, to most of us in moving forward for Jesus Christ? We get the wrong spirit. We got the right truth. We got the right truth. But with it, we have the wrong spirit. And I'm afraid that my wrong spirit, while holding the right truth, has caused maybe some people in the past to have rejected the truth because of my spirit. Boy, that's a stumbling block to moving forward for Jesus Christ. You know what's happening to me as I get older? I'm beginning to realize that I love people. would be kind of wrong for me to do what I do and not love people, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be wrong for me to take the paycheck you give me every week and put food on my table and a roof over my head and clothes on my back and makeup for my girls and all the rest that we do for that, food for my dog, and hate people? I don't hate people. People are what I'm called to minister to. People are, if I'm following Jesus Christ, then my job is to love and help people as I'm moving forward for Jesus Christ. You know what I want to do in this church? I want to reach more people. It's not because I want to pack the building out so I can brag about how my ministry is growing. God help me. It's because people need the Lord. I want to have the right spirit. Boy, these guys struggled with having the right spirit. Notice something else about your spirit becoming a stumbling block to you moving forward. Look at verse 21. Jesus seeth him. Who's he seeing? He's seeing John, who's laying his head on the, who laid his head on the breast of Jesus Christ at supper. Peter seeth him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? So we're going to come back to it in a minute, but God's been dealing personally with Peter. I mean, God's been working on Peter in this chapter. And Peter looks over and he sees John and he says, yeah, Lord, but what's he going to do? You know what that is? A competitive spirit. You know what's a stumbling block to you serving Jesus Christ? A competitive spirit. When you're looking across the aisle and, well, they ain't working the nursery. They ain't on the cleaning schedule. They ain't none of your business. Well, did you see the way they handle their kids? None of your business. My kids are better than their kids. Yeah, and you're fixing to wreck your family with that spirit. Because that thing will catch on, man. Your kids will pick up on that stuff. My kids are better than their kids. Yeah, and you're going to raise brats that think they're such a holy role and they're no good for nothing. They can't reach or help anybody. Nose will be so high in the air, they'll drown if it rains. A competitive spirit. That's a wrong spirit. That is a stumbling block to moving forward for Jesus Christ. You know what I don't want? I don't want to be competing with you. You know why? When we're competing, one of us loses. You want to compete, come to the gym. I get it all out of my system in there. There's no place for it. There's no place for it in the ministry. There's no place for it in church. I'm not competing with you. That's a great way to wreck your life. They bought a new car, so now you got to go buy a new car. What are you, an idiot? Maybe they don't know how to handle their finances and it's going to work out tragically for them in the long run. And wait a second, maybe they have more money than you. And they can afford it, and you can't. Don't be worrying about what other people do. Don't be competing with other brethren. Don't be worrying about how you stack up next to other people in church. That competitive spirit will stop you from moving forward for Jesus Christ. It does not matter where some other 43-year-old preacher who started his church 13 years ago happens to be in his attendance, happens to be in his buildings, happens to be in his finances, in his ministry. It doesn't matter. I don't care. You know why? Because I got something here for God that God's given me for me to do. And all that matters is, am I walking in the steps one day at a time, faithfully, one week at a time, one chapter at a time, one service at a time, doing what God wants me to do in my life and ministry? And if you'll take those kind of steps, I'm telling you, your steps will be stable. But when you start looking at how other people are doing and where they're at, you're going to stumble. You're going to fall. The devil discourages some of you in this building because you got a good heart and you want to do right, you want to serve God, you want to move forward. And you know how he gets to you? He gets to you by getting you to get your eyes off Jesus Christ and look at everybody else. Well, I wish I was like them. I wish I had their talent. I wish I had their abilities. Hey, stop it. That competitive spirit is going to cause you to stumble. Number two, stumbling blocks become stepping stones if you're going to move forward for Jesus Christ. Watch it. Look at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said,
unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. So what are you saying, preacher? How is there a stumbling stone there? There's a stumbling stone. You know what it was? Peter's spirit. Peter's spirit. Like I just said, your spirit will be your stumbling stone. Peter's spirit was a stumbling stone. Three times in the heat of his spirit, he denied Jesus Christ. On further reflection, I don't think Peter denied Jesus Christ because he was afraid. Why would he have pulled the sword off out at night in the middle of a confrontation with a bunch of soldiers, looking around knowing he's the baddest dude here? Like, I mean, it's one thing if I got a bunch of really bad dudes behind me, but when I know I'm the baddest dude here and it's all going to rise and fall on me and I'm ready to engage a bunch of soldiers, I am ready to die. I don't think Peter denied the Lord because he was ready to die. I think he denied the Lord because he was bitter and angry about how that thing played out. He was upset that the Lord stopped him from doing it his way. He was mad that it wasn't working out the way he thought it should work out. He didn't understand God's agenda and God's spirit and how God was working. His own spirit was always running him into trouble. But when Jesus Christ shows up, his stepping stone, his stumbling block, became his stepping stone. How is that? Jesus says, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? What's he talking about? Well, we read the story already. The Lord shows up. Children, have you any meat? No. Cast your net on the other side. What is Peter? Peter's a fisherman, right? What's the Lord talking about? Because when the Lord brings him to shore, he has dinner sitting there waiting for him. They're out there fishing. They're all killing themselves, trying to make it happen for themselves. And the Lord's like already got it provided, waiting on the shore, standing there like, whenever you guys are done, I got you taken care of. Was the Lord talking about the fish? I don't know. I don't think so. Was the Lord talking about his buddies there? Lovest thou me more than these? More than what? The fish? I don't know. I know one thing about fishermen. They love to fish. If you're a fisherman, you love to fish. You ever notice that? I don't like fishing. I hate fishing. I despise it. I'm scarred from childhood at fishing. My dad would take me fishing, and we'd be out there all day, and when we weren't catching nothing, we stayed because my dad was not a quitter. He wasn't leaving till he got fish. And there's nothing more boring for a little boy with ADHD and ADD and every other whatever it could possibly be than sitting in a boat all day long when you're not catching fish. It's horrible. It was so bad. My dad was so bad about it that at one point when my mom was out with him, he was fishing, she was ready to go, and he wouldn't go, so she took her paddle and banged it on the bottom of the boat and said, now they're all gone, can we go now? I'm scarred. Fun fishing would be dynamite. I think that would be so cool. I like watching things blow up, boom, and then you just get in the boat, paddle around, and pick up all the floating fish. Perfect, right? No problem. These guys out here on the way to school and from school, man, they're flooding that Whitmore Lake, and they're sitting there, and they stare at a hole in the ice, and they sit there in the cold. Look, if you're an ice fisherman, God bless you, man. It's a manly thing to do. It's cool. I'm not making fun of you. To me, I'm like, no, not happening. Was the Lord talking to Peter about his fish? I don't know. I kind of doubt it. Was the Lord talking to Peter about his buddies? Could be. Here's the point I'm making. Why doesn't the Bible make some things a lot more clear? If you wrote it, you would have done a much better job. You know why? I'll tell you why right now. I hope you can grab this. That's a divine book. And Peter knew what the Lord was talking about, but nobody else did. That was between Peter and his Savior. And when God said, lovest thou me more than these, Peter knew exactly what it was in his heart that he loved a lot. What it was in his heart that was in danger of becoming a stumbling stone for him following Jesus Christ. He knew what the Lord was talking about when the Lord spoke to him. And I think the Lord left it vague because this morning, you know what the Lord's talking about. And if all he meant was fish in the text, you'd be like, nope, I never miss church to go fishing. I hate fishing. But since the Lord left that general between him and his man, it can apply to you, whatever it is, lovest thou me more than these. Peter's looking at himself and he's going, oh Lord, oh God, I messed up. Oh God, I messed up. Oh God, I messed up. And God's saying, yeah, why'd you do this? Why'd you mess up, man? You love your sin more than you love me? Lord, you know I don't. Feed my lambs. You know what the Lord's telling him? He's telling him how to move forward. He's telling him what he has for him down the road. He's telling him, I want you to go to those young ones, those new ones, those lambs, and I want to get you to give them the milk of the Word of God. That's what I'm going to have for you the rest of your life. All you're going to do is you're faithfully going to get out some milk and you're going to feed those little ones. Make sure that they get what they need to grow and get stronger. He asked them again, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Why are you asking me again, Lord? I know I screwed up. I know I shouldn't have. I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah, my sin, my heart got me. I love that. I love that stuff. But I don't. I know, Lord, I love you more. I want to serve you more. My flesh loves that, but I want you. Feed my sheep. Another step. Another graduation. I'm going to grow you, Peter, to a point where you're going to be able to feed the older ones. Again, the third time, the Lord says, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, thou knowest all things. God, he's grieved in his heart now. Thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. You know what the Lord was doing? Let me tell you what he wasn't doing. He wasn't rubbing his three denials in his face. Did you hear me? The devil, and excuse me for this, but people that play, I found a nicer way to say it, in process. This is great. People that play into the devil's hands. I was going to call them something else, but the devil and people that play into the devil's hands will always throw your past up in your face. Oh, we remember you back in the day. Really? I'm not that guy anymore. That's a different person. That is under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as far as the east is from the west. Though my sins be as scarlet, it was bad. But guess what now? They're white as snow. Though they were red like crimson, they're as wool. So I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm not falling for that one. Because what's in the past is in the past. Because Jesus Christ, when he shows up on the shore and I'm in the middle of my fit, I'm out there going back to what I used to be. Hey, children, have you any meat? Are you joking right now? He cares? Yes. I'm backslidden right now. Hey, how you doing, bud? Not so good. How's the fishing? Pretty bad. You satisfied? You getting what your soul needs? You got everything you want? No! Wasn't their answer no? Hey, you ever stumbled when you're trying to move forward? You ever realize you're your own stumbling block? You ever realize your spirit got the thing messed up? You ever gone back to what you shouldn't have gone back to? You ever had the Lord show up on the shore and say, how's it going out there, bud? Not so hot. Yeah, you're a professional fisherman, ain't you? Yep. Got anything to eat? Nope. And he's like, I don't know what you're waiting for, man. I got the shore over here all lined up with fish. And I got a fire warm you out there in that cold night. And I'm waiting for you. And I'm watching. Ain't it amazing how the Lord loves you? Ain't it amazing how the Lord cares about you? Can I be honest with you? One of the things that more recently in my personal walk has been blowing my mind is that Jesus Christ loves me. And he knows me so much better than you know me. And he loves me. That's a wild thing to me.
You know what I had to come to grips with not long ago? A strange thought that I'm not sure why it ever hit, never hit me before. I mean, I could have told you it's the truth, but it never hit me. It clicked. Jesus loves my enemies. Jesus loves people who have hurt me. What a Savior, man. Why do I appreciate Him for that? Because that means He loves me when I hurt somebody else. He loves me when I messed up. He loves me when I went back. He loves me when I stumbled. And my stumbling stones are turned into stepping stones when Jesus Christ shows up on the shore. Hey, I know all about that hot spirit you got, you little temper tantrum. I know all about your tendency to flake. I know all about your unfaithfulness. You love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Got something for you to do. Hey, you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. I got something for you to do. Hey, you love me? Lord, are you rubbing my face? No, I'm showing you that even though you denied me over and over and over again, I also know you love me over and over and over again. And I'm giving you a chance to come to shore and get a bite to eat. Ain't that a great Savior? You better be careful about the guilt monkey getting on your back. You better be careful about always identifying yourself with what you used to be. You better be careful about letting other people always identify you with what you used to be. Look at verse 5. Jesus says, children, have you any meat? They said, no. He says unto them in verse 6, cast your net on the other side of the ship and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. You know what Peter heard? He heard the voice of Jesus Christ when he was out there. You got any meat? No. Cast your net on the other side. When he heard, he did it. You know what Simon means? Simon means hearing. Jesus said, hey, Simon. You know what he's saying? I know you hear me. I know you're listening. You know Jesus Christ knows when you're listening to Him? And He listens to you. You know what's funny is I had this thought this week about, you know what? It's been happening. There have been more than one time that I have thought something and the Lord answered, but I never officially got down and knelt and said an official prayer over it. For illustration's purposes, like, man, it'd be really good if somebody got saved. It's been a while, and then somebody gets saved. Not like an official prayer. That's the power of the mind. Okay, genius, go beat your head into the tree over there and tell yourself your IQ is going to improve. It's not the power of the mind. You know what I found this week in my devotions? The Lord said, I will answer before you call unto me. There's a Bible verse that tells you God answers prayers sometimes before you pray them when He knows your heart. The Lord knew Peter's heart. Everybody else saw Peter's failure. Peter saw his own failure when John said, it's the Lord. Cast your net on the right side, they cast it, the net gets filled. John says, it's the Lord. Peter says, I'm out of here. And he girds his fisherman's coat about him, which would be similar to a raincoat, and jumps into the sea, for he was naked. That's what the text says. Now, hang on a second. If you run the references in your Bible on naked, sometimes it in context in the Bible is partially clothed. So it's possible he was just bare-chested, which is why he'd throw his fisherman's coat on him, because that would go down about halfway down his thighs, and jumps in the sea. And he's swimming, and what does he do? He was ashamed of himself, and I'm not so sure, because it didn't say he jumped in the sea and swam away. You know what it did? He couldn't wait for that boat to get into land, and he knew he could outswim the boat. John says, it's the Lord. Peter says, boom, right in that water. Pow, 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 pow. He gets to shore ahead of everybody. You know what God saw in his spirit? See, I'm not making it up when I say his spirit was his problem, but his spirit also, that same spirit, when Jesus Christ got a hold of it, becomes his stepping stone. His passion for the Lord, his excitement to serve the Lord, his energy to go see the Lord, his desire to be at the Lord's feet. He gets in that water and he gets to shore. The other guys come in and they're towing that net full of fishes. The text says 153 fishes. And by the way, they weren't little ones because it said great fishes. So if they were about 4 pounds each, you got 600 pounds of fish. Right? Do that math right? 153 times 4, a little over 600. You know what Peter does? They're towing that in the boat. They're coming in slow. Peter's like, I ain't waiting. He runs out there and he grabs that net. They're still in the boat. He wades out in the water. He grabs that net and he's dragging possibly 400, 500, 600 pounds of fish himself up onto shore. That's realistic if a guy's really strong. He's a beast. You know what the Lord's doing with Peter? The Lord's showing him, hey, bud, I still love you. You can still move forward for me. We're putting the past in the past, and I got a plan for you. What a blessing, man. His stumbling block becomes his stepping stone. Look at verse number 18. The Lord says this. In describing to Peter how he wants to use him, he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. You know what you've got in moving forward? You've got a Savior. You've got a Savior who will guide you forward. But you know what he was telling Peter in verse 18? He is signifying what death he would die. He said, when you were young and you were stubborn and you were strong, you put on your clothes and you went anywhere you wanted to go. Like a young Christian. Like a backslidden Christian. Like a Christian whose spirit is blocking him from moving forward with Jesus Christ because he's got a strong human spirit and he's doing his will, not God's. That's young. That's a sign of immaturity. Peter, you didn't get some things back then. You weren't understanding. You wanted to fight with a sword. You wanted to go wherever you wanted. You wanted to run it your way. You wanted to call down fire from heaven with the sons of thunder over there, your buddies. And you guys wanted to burn them up when they didn't do it our way. And when somebody was out there casting out devils, but not in my name and not with us, you wanted to stop them because they weren't in your clique in the ministry. They weren't with your boys. I'm preaching now. That was your spirit. Well, they're not doing it our way. So what? Leave them alone. They're preaching politics. That's their problem. I'm not doing it here. That's their problem. They'll answer to God for that stuff. Well, they're over there. They're the sons of thunder. Okay, great. I'm not associating with them. I don't want this lost world to think that I hate lost people too. I want to reach lost people. I want to see lost people saved. But that's their problem. God will answer for it. That's not my business. When your spirit was in control, you were running everything your way. But when you grow up, when you're old, when you're mature, when you're usable, somebody else is going to put your clothes on for you. And they're going to set you in that wheelchair. And they're going to take you down the hallway and park you at the table they want you to eat at. And when it's time to go back, they're going to take you back and they're going to wheel you back in. And they're going to park you. And you're going to sit there and say, man, I'm so weak. I'm just so weak. I can't do anything my way. When I was younger, what he's saying is, when you die to yourself, when you stop doing everything the way you want to do it, when you stop running your life, and you let the Holy Spirit of God put on you what He wants on you, and take you where He wants to take you, and do with you what He wants to do with you, then your life is going to start bringing forth glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not up to me. I want to be a pastor. So? When I was young, I girded myself and went where I wanted. Not up to me. You know what I had to do? I had to die to my will and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And He says, all right, here's the coat I'm putting on you. I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to feed my sheep. You know what most of the new Bibles do with this text? They take the feed my sheep out and they say tend. Well, I can tend to you all I want, but if I don't feed you, you'll die. You know what Jesus Christ wanted His men to do? What He was doing. Good job, boys. You got that big catch. Come over here. I got something for you. Ready and waiting for you. Sit down. Eat these fish. Feed you. Give you some strength. You've been out all night. You got a lot of fish to clean. Now you need the strength to get it done. So here's what I provided for you. Sit down and eat. Not what they provided for themselves. What He had already provided for them.
And their feet, Peter finds at the end of the book of John, full restitution between him and Jesus Christ. And that's just one little thing. Everything we've seen throughout John is just this much. Because at the end of the chapter, you know what it says? If everything Jesus Christ had done in his life was recorded, the world would not contain the Scriptures. Do you know what that means? Because that's kind of like, right? The earth is not big enough to hold all the recordings of what Jesus Christ was doing. Now, if you've been with us through our Job series, you'll grab this pretty easy. That means so much supernatural activity was going on during the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that if you could know it, you're not capable to process the amount of information that he would show you. So he gave you this little book of 66 put together into one book and says, this is all you can handle and you'll spend your whole life trying to figure all this out. But if you only knew all I was doing, your mind would literally be blown. So I'm going to wait till you get your glorified body when I finally get you home with me, and then I'm going to show you all I was doing. Can I tell you something, church? More is going on than what meets the eye. In a little church like this, in a little room like this, with a small crew like we got, there is so much more going on than what meets the eye. From these little kids that sit here, try to take notes while pastor's preaching, to the oldest person that comes and tries to sit down and get a little bit of something from God, and all the devils in between that want to create stumbling blocks in your life and want to keep you from moving forward for Jesus Christ, and all your own failures and your own past and your own thoughts and your own struggles and your own emotions and everything else that's going on. We cannot even possibly comprehend how much God is trying to do and how much the devil wants to keep you from doing. And the solution to all of it, just one step at a time, move forward for Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you would.